Welcome to Feathercast, episode number 27. A short while ago, I had a chance to catch up with James Strachan in London and talk about the ActiveMQ project.
Before we begin, congratulations on finally managing to exit the incubator.
Thank you.
I'd never actually heard of ActiveMQ before we talked in Austin, so can you give an overview for people about what ActiveMQ actually is?
ActiveMQ is an enterprise message broker. It's basically like an open source version of MQ Series. Message-orientated middleware has been around for many, many years, I think 20, 30 years now, and it's used throughout the software industry to connect different enterprise systems together. Often an organization will maybe have 100 or maybe 1,000 different computer systems, and people need to connect those systems together reliably to transfer information around the network. So you might export information from your payroll system to your stock control system to your inventory system to your ordering management system. So it's used as an integration technology to integrate different systems together within enterprises.
How did you get involved in ActiveMQ?
It originally started as a kind of parallel project to the Geronimo project. So Geronimo started, well, I think it was 2003, 2004. And one of the parts of J2EE is JMS, the Java Messaging System. So initially we needed an implementation of JMS for the Geronimo project. So we initially started ActiveMQ as a basic provider for Geronimo, and fairly soon ActiveMQ turned into a pretty good messaging system. Then over the years it's gradually grown and matured into a better and better messaging system. We've been going for about 4 years now, and now it's packed full of enterprise features, it's very, very stable, it's had lots and lots of releases. We did 4.1.0 fairly recently. We're working on 5.0. So it's grown from a fairly simplistic message broker 4 years ago into a real world class enterprise scale messaging system.
This was one of the things I was going to ask you about. I went and had a look at your website today, now that you're a top level project at Apache. The website mentions that you've just released version 1.0. And when I then go and look at some of the other areas, it talks about version 4.1. So can you just try and clarify that for me?
Sure. That's a wiki brain fart. The Confluence wiki that builds the entire website, for some reason, likes showing us the very first wiki news entry, for some reason. It seems kind of a random Confluence bug. We get the most recent story and sometimes the first story. So the 1.0 release was actually 3 years ago, 4 years ago? I think that was 2004. If you do click through to the news page, they are in order, but for some reason on the homepage, it gets a bit confused. So we should post a few more news articles. So when we post about this Feathercast, it will hopefully bump off the 1.0 release.
So if people do come across this, don't be confused.
It's a very old release.
It's an old release.
Yeah, very, very old.
How long did it take you to get through the incubator?
I think it was about a year and a half. I think we entered in November 2005 and we graduated in February 2007, so about 16 months.
Was that a good learning experience for you, going through the incubator?
It was. I think a lot of people have been through the incubator and find it quite painful. I think both being an incubatee and incubator, we've all been learning together. And I think a lot of the policies at the incubator have been growing and changing with demand and with projects coming through. So I think there was definitely some pain points on both sides of the people incubating the projects and the people on the projects being incubated. Similarly, Geronimo had quite a lot of trouble back when it was being incubated. There's definitely been some pain points, but I think on balance it's definitely been a very rewarding experience.
Do you think it helped to promote your community and helped your community to develop going through that experience?
I think with ActiveMQ we already had a very big community to start with, so I'm not sure how much being an Apache in the incubator helped grow the community. I think the big thing it made was helped unify the community with the Apache community. I think for me that was the big thing. Learning the way that Apache works and working with other Apache projects. Quite a few people from ActiveMQ have now gone on to work on other Apache projects, and vice versa, we've had people from other Apache projects working on ActiveMQ. So I think the big thing was merging the community with Apache. But we originally started at Codehouse and we grew a pretty large community there and then brought the community to Apache. But I'm sure it has grown quite a bit since we've been at Apache.
You keep talking about enterprise.
Yeah. Who's Maybe I should use the phrase enterprisey.
Enterprisey. Who's your target audience for ActiveMQ? If I was looking to download it, would I be looking to download as an individual, as an organisation, or...?
I think if you're an individual, you probably don't have the extreme integration problems that enterprises do that ActiveMQ's really aimed at. I mean, I think some people would find it useful. The main users of ActiveMQ tend to be people, say, building large distributed Java applications, or people who have some Java, some C, some COBOL, some C#, .NET, Ruby, Python, PHP, and they want to integrate everything together. Quite a lot of our users now are people who are building large distributed web applications with lots of different languages, and they want a way for everything to communicate together in a reliable way. Message brokers, more than just connectivity, I mean, you can use HTTP just to connect things together. One of the things that message brokers have is something called a queue. And queues are rather like having a load balancer within your software network. So you can publish a message to a queue, and you can have as many consumers on that queue as you want. So you might have, say, 1,000 processes consuming from the queue. And the message broker will then load balance messages across consumers. So it's rather like having your HTTP load balancer within your software network. And load balancing is very, very useful. It's a nice, simple way of building a scalable distributed system. You can just drop messages on queues. You know that one consumer will process the message. It's not going to be processed 100 times or 1,000. It's going to be processed exactly once. The message isn't going to get lost. It can be persistent if you want. It can have a time to live. So it's a nice, easy way of distributing work across your organization. It's kind of like a backbone or a message bus on which you can plug in software components. One of the other things that's useful about message brokers is you can monitor the system. So you can see every single queue in your system. You can see its queue depth, so you can see how quickly each step of your distributed system is running. So you might have, I don't know, maybe 100 different processes in your business. One of those processes might be slow. There might be a connection to a legacy system's gone down, or a disk is full, or a box has crashed, or whatever. It's often very hard in a large distributed system to see where's the problem. What is it in your organization that's failing or causing an issue? If you're using a message broker to run all your software, you can just see the queue depths and very quickly see exactly what's going on, what's running slow. Maybe you need to boot up a certain number of a certain process, and so on and so forth. So it's part scheduling, it's part load balancing, and part systems management, and part connectivity.
One of the things that I noticed when I went to your website, knew that you were a Java project, I was expecting to see lots of Java references, but I also saw references to C, C++, C#, Ruby, Python, all sorts.
Yeah, PHP, Perl, Python. We've got a client in Pyke. I don't even know what Pyke is, but somebody submitted the Pyke client. So the basic thing with ActiveMQ is the message broker is written in Java. So the broker side or the server side is all Java. The clients, we're trying to promote a client in any language at all. So you can even use Telnet as a client, rather than like with HTTP where you can Telnet into a web server. You can Telnet into ActiveMQ and interact with ActiveMQ using a protocol called Stomp, which is looks and feels very much like HTTP. So pretty much it should take you an hour to write a client in any language of your choice to talk to ActiveMQ. It should be very, very easy. We've got lots of users using Ruby, Python, Perl, PHP, C, C++, C#, and .NET, and all that kind of stuff. But if you've got some language like, I don't know, COBOL or KIX or some other kind of crazy legacy language, it should really take you an hour to write a client for it. It's literally reading and writing to a socket. It should be really, really easy.
I'm guessing that means, therefore, that your community is more diverse than a typical Java community. Has that led to a different learning curve for you?
Yeah. I mean, some of our community is diverse. For example, there's a guy who wrote the Perl client for ActiveMQ, and that's part of CPAN, and it's not actually hosted at ActiveMQ. He's hosted it on his own, some version repo. He's put it into CPAN, and that's elsewhere. But it's all part of the same community, even though it's not hosted at Apache. The Ruby client's currently hosted at CodeHouse, and that's part of Ruby Gems, which is the Ruby version of CPAN. So we do have quite a distributed user community. There's a couple of other smaller projects. One's called Lingo, one's called Jenx, and the Stomp project, which are kind of satellite projects that are in the ActiveMQ orbit. But it is a very diverse project. There's people in lots of different operating systems, lots of different languages, and doing lots of different things. One of the interesting things about messaging is there's a huge diverse range of use cases. We have people from the military who are using ActiveMQ to organize tanks and missiles and using radio waves and wacky stuff like that. We've got people in investment banks doing kind of the typical trading floor with market data. We have people at large e-tailers doing massively scalable websites with Java or PHP or Ruby or Perl. So we have a huge diverse range of users and platform.
Another thing that I thought was a little bit unusual was when I went to your website, one of the things that I came across reasonably quickly was you actually have a specification that you appear to be actually controlling, and it appears to be your specification.
Yeah.
That's not very normal for an Apache project, is it?
There's a specification called for Stomp, which was actually started by an Apache VP called Brian McAllister. It's a slightly bizarre story. We have something called OpenWire in ActiveMQ, which is our binary protocol. So that's the kind of the bits and bytes-y kind of protocol to talk to the message broker. And it's kind of complicated. It's aimed to be super fast and powerful and rich, but it's kind of hard to use because it's binary. You know, it's this big binary protocol that's takes a little while to write a client. And at an Apache Con in Stuttgart, which I think was maybe a year and a half ago, Brian was trying to use OpenWire with Ruby, and was seeing this big, complicated binary protocol, and he was pulling his hair out, and he kind of just said, can we have something simple, please? So OpenWire is part of ActiveMQ. This satellite project called Stomp happened, which is a pure text-based protocol. So it looks very much like HTTP. You can telnet in. The idea is you should be able to use telnet as a messaging client. Right? So you can telnet into the message broker, you can subscribe to queues, send messages and acknowledge them and so forth. So Stomp happened actually at CodeHouse, mainly because it was like a little project. It was mostly a wiki. There wasn't really much code there to start with. It was mostly a place to host the spec. We could maybe move Stomp to Apache, maybe. That's one thing that we should maybe think about. But so right now there's kind of two specs. There's OpenWire, which is part of ActiveMQ, and there's Stomp, which is a separate project, but which we totally contribute to and implement. We've now got a C# implementation of Stomp. We've got a Java implementation of Stomp. We've got a Stomp broker at ActiveMQ. But then there's other providers out there on the web. There's a couple of Ruby providers on the web. Somebody's done some Python stuff with Twisted. The Python Twisted stuff is out there. So what we're really trying to do is unify the community at Apache, even if all of the code isn't actually there. And maybe see if we can gradually move as much of the code to Apache over time, but I've always found that Apache is great for large communities, but it's maybe not good for spinning up little communities quickly. So a lot of the satellite projects around ActiveMQ have often been spun up elsewhere, just because they start off as a couple of guys, they want to spin something up really quick. The whole incubation process is maybe a little bit heavyweight just for kind of little projects. But we shall see, we might be able to move more stuff to Apache over time. And certainly Stomp's a good candidate, I think.
With the OpenWire specification, you're going to continue evolving that and continue developing that. Is that actually essentially part of the core of ActiveMQ, or are you treating that as a separate sub-project?
It's certainly a separate module. It's a separate module which people can use if they wish, or they can use something else. ActiveMQ itself is multi-protocol and can talk various different protocols. So there's Stomp, there's OpenWire, we have a REST API, we've got an AJAX COMET-D layer. We've got XMPP support, Jabber. The OpenWire stuff is currently used for a C++ client, a C#.NET client, and a Java client. Because of its kind of complexity, we like to keep the development of the OpenWire stuff in about the same place, just because it's kind of a complicated thing. It's rather like IIoP or something. It's kind of quite a complex protocol. For stuff like Stomp, because it's so easy, and it's so easy to interoperate, and anybody can write a Stomp client in a matter of an hour, it's very easy for that to be very distributed and spread across lots of different projects. With OpenWire, we tend to try and do the development as a team more, rather than a distributed thing. We find that if you've got a really complicated binary protocol, it's kind of almost good to release them together, rather than get things out of whack. When things don't quite work in a binary protocol, you generally host, whereas with text-based protocols, they're a bit simpler to deal with inconsistencies.
As ActiveMQ's evolved, I guess because you started with a a relatively small code base and it's grown and grown and grown. Have you learnt any lessons along the way about how to manage that code base? I'm thinking more in terms of subversion and the source control.
I mean, initially we started with one big source tree in Subversion. And certainly we've learnt to spit out the different languages as separate subversion trees. So now the C# stuff's separate, the C++ stuff's separate. Mostly so it can have its own release cycle. Similarly, we've spit out the JIRAs, the issue tracking systems for each releasable unit. With hindsight, it would have maybe been better to do that from the start, but it's one of those things we gradually grew and realized it's maybe better making things separate. In the early days, we released everything in one go, and after a while, it soon becomes a bit cumbersome releasing absolutely everything. Sometimes you just want to bug fix the .NET client or something. So we've definitely moved to a kind of a lighter weight, more nimble structure. So I definitely think I'd recommend separate Subversion and JIRAs for each project. We've also now got a separate wiki for each sub-project too. I think we'd definitely do that going forward with every component in XVMQ, yeah.
Which other projects within Apache do you work closely with, if any?
I've kind of got a history of working on lots of projects. I initially joined Apache to work on Jakarta Tag Libs, which is showing my age. That was maybe 8 years ago, maybe. I've worked on Jakarta Commons, I've worked on Maven, I've worked on Geronimo, a sub-project of Geronimo called XBean. A project I'm probably the most active with outside of XMQ right now is a project called ServiceMix, which is in the incubator right now, which is an ESB. I said I wouldn't use an acronym, and there's one. It's an enterprise service bus, which basically is kind of like a slightly higher level from a message broker. A message broker is a very well understood piece of technology. All message brokers pretty much act and behave like MQ series. However, people want to integrate all kinds of different things, email, FTP, files, Jabber, HTTP, web services, and so on and so forth. So an enterprise service bus is a more kind of general purpose integration platform, which is trying to basically connect anything to anything. So a message bus typically only connects to message bus clients. It's specifically designed to be a kind of consistent network within itself. An enterprise service bus is almost like a generic abstraction of a message bus, which can use all sorts of different transports under the covers. So I work on ServiceMix quite a bit as well, which, another buzzword for you, acronym, JBI. So ServiceMix implements the JBI specification. So that's two acronyms. I said I wouldn't use any acronyms, which stands for the Java Business Interface, which is basically the standard Java API for enterprise service bus components.
When we've been talking with some of the other Java projects, they've mentioned the fact that they're usable as embedded or whatever. I'm guessing that doesn't necessarily apply to ActiveMQ.
It does. It's one of the things that makes working on ActiveMQ quite complicated, because people have lots of different use cases for hosting Java software. For example, ActiveMQ generally consists of a client and a message broker. Now, you might wish to deploy the client as a standalone Java virtual machine. You might want to put it in an applet. You might want to turn it into a binary executable. You might want to host it within an app server like Tomcat or Geronimo or some other app server. Similarly, the message broker, you might want to deploy that in a client, which at first might seem bizarre. One very good reason, for example, is a lot of people have mobile applications that run on phones or laptops or whatever, where you want to deal with a network going down, but you don't want the application to have to keep dealing with retry or blocking on a send. So you might want to do a local store and forward on the machine by essentially having a local message broker with local persistence. So your messaging client will send messages, they will be persisted to disk, and then when the network comes back, it will sync up with some remote message broker. So this kind of store and forward network is quite common in message-oriented middleware. So some people want to deploy the message broker inside the client, which is kind of bizarre. Another good reason for deploying the message broker in a client is latency. Typically with a message broker, a client will send a message to the broker. The broker will then load balance that message to a consumer. Now that often involves two network hops, one from the producer to the broker and one from the broker to the consumer. Now in some super high performance requirements, that latency can often be too large. So sometimes the broker will be hosted in the producer or the consumer, depending on the cardinality of producers v. consumers. If you have one producer, you might host the producer inside the message broker, or vice versa. Similarly, the message broker might be hosted inside an app server or managed in a separate service. There's then the problem with Java. It's never been great at working in the Windows services world or the Unix services world. It's always been a little crappy at doing that. So there's a library called the Java Service Wrapper, which can add this glue around some Java code to make it work nicely as a Unix daemon process or as a Windows service. So with all of those things in the mix, we have a large number of permutations of use cases for how people use ActiveMQ, whether language, platform, or operating system. Plus there's the deployment model. Is it standalone? Is it embedded in something else? Is it inside an app server? And so on and so forth. So I think probably 50-60% of the development effort on ActiveMQ is more to do with the hosting options than the actual functionality of the message broker.
When I download ActiveMQ from your website, what do I actually get?
So if you go to activemq.apache.org and click on the downloads link, you basically get a zip file or a tarball of everything you need to run a Java or Ruby client and the message broker itself. So you can run the message broker as a standalone command line tool. You can take the Java jars, the Java archive files, slap those in your class path and use them embedded in a Java process. Or you can run the broker as a standalone program. There's various example programs that come with it, producers and consumers and testing tools. There's a web console that you can use to boot up to manage the server, view messages, use a web browser to send messages, consume them, delete them, browse them, and so on and so forth. So pretty much there's everything you need in that tarball to get going.
How big is the tarball that I actually need to download?
Huge. It is quite big. I don't know, 30 meg, something like that. It's pretty large. What we were kind of hoping was eventually all of the code you might need would be in a Maven repository somewhere, so that the distro for something like ActiveMQ would be quite small, because ActiveMQ embeds a lot of other pieces out of the box. What we wanted to do really was, when you download ActiveMQ, you can on the command line type ActiveMQ and it would just run, and you don't have to go fetching other things, other jars, putting them in the right places or any kind of stuff like that. The problem is that also that means we need to distribute quite a lot of other Java code than is in the ActiveMQ project. So we distribute Apache Darby by default, which is, I don't know, 3-4 meg, a web server, and a bunch of other Java code. So it would be kind of nice if we all had a standard RPM or CPAN type thing, so that we only downloaded the ActiveMQ stuff, which one day I think Maven might do that. I think the Java world are using Maven a lot to be our CPAN for our Ruby gems, or APT, or Yum, or RPM. There's so many of these things. So hopefully one day we'll get there in the Java world and we'll have a reliable distribution mechanism so that our tarballs will be quite small.
Which projects within Apache use ActiveMQ or are used by ActiveMQ?
Geronimo uses it as its JMS provider. Geronimo also runs the J2E TCK on itself and ActiveMQ to make sure we comply with the J2E specifications. Apache Directory is using it, which is a distributed LDAP and so forth. Certainly Apache Service Mix is using it. Apache CXF, they use it as their default JMS provider. I think Apache Tuscany might use it, but I haven't checked. And I'm sure there's a few other projects out there that use it.
And what about projects that you use?
We're big Maven users. We use tons of Maven, which is a great tool. It can be a little frustrating to get going sometimes, but once you get over the learning curve, it's very, very good. We've also been through the Maven pain of going from 1 to 2, and certainly version 2 is very good. So we use that a lot. Internally, Maven sometimes uses some Ant, so that's another one there. We use Tomcat for testing, but we tend to use Jetty just because it's a little simpler to embed. We use a bunch of the Jakarta Commons stuff, so things like Jakarta Commons Database Connection Pool, Jakarta Commons Logging, which seems like everybody uses that, or I should call it Clogging. There's also Jakarta Commons HTTP Client, which is a pretty good Java HTTP client for connectivity. And Apache Darby, we use that as the default out-of-the-box database. When you're doing persistence in ActiveMQ, it can often be a pain in the ass to create a database and install it and so on and so forth. So Apache Darby is our bundled database. So out of the box you get a database without having to do lots of sysadmin stuff.
How many people work on Apache
ActiveMQ? I should have checked this before we had the Feathercast. I think it's around 20, 25 committers. We try and keep a little list. There's a wiki page on the website called Team, which basically lists all the active committers right now. And people who are very active on the mailing list and so forth and submit lots of patches, we put them in the contributor section. So there's a big long list of lots of the contributors. And it gives you a feel for where people work, what kind of location they're in, and so on and so forth. The user community is huge. We get tons of email every day from users trying different wacky things with ActiveMQ and hitting different issues. So it's a very, very large community with many hundreds of emails a day.
If someone wants to get involved in ActiveMQ, what's the best way to get started?
I think the best way is trying the forums. Traditionally at Apache, we all use email lists. And that's the kind of way that all Apache projects talk to each other. We found this forum called nabble.com, which presents a kind of a web forum style API to the Apache mailing lists. As a new user, it's sometimes a bit overwhelming joining a mailing list which gets tens or hundreds of emails every day. So it's often nice just to kind of surf around the email list and have a little look. So there's a link at the very top of the website, at the top right of the website, that says forums. If you click on the forums and just have a little look around, you'll see the community, you maybe see what people are doing, you can maybe see how things are going, join in the conversation, ask a few questions and so forth. Certainly, I think the first thing, download the software and play with it. Surf the documentation online. It's maybe not the most organized documentation in the world, but there's a lot of content in there. It just might take some Googling to find what you need. I think another good way of getting started is to try the web console. The web console is a nice, simple way of visualizing what's going on with the message broker. I think one of the things that's hard about some enterprise software, and particularly message brokers, is understanding what it is and what it's doing. I think if you understand message brokers, you'll just immediately feel at home with ActiveMQ. If the whole message broker thing is kind of new to you, it's probably better if you start at the web console. Boot up the web console and play around with it there, create some queues, send some messages, get a feel for how things work, what the statistics are like, and so on and so forth. I think another good place to start, there's a web demo, which is slightly different to the web console. The web demo is a little Java WAR web archive, which has a few little example programs using ActiveMQ in a web setting. So there's things like an Ajax chat application or a real-time stock portfolio and so on and so forth, which can show you how to use ActiveMQ in a more Ajax or RESTful way.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us, James, and congratulations again on exiting the incubator.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Nick O'Cadell and NeoWorks for the use of their meeting room for this recording. That was Feathercast.